It's the Full Force News Burst with me, Chris McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. We've managed to grab the immensely talented freelance illustrator Dan Mumford for an interview, so let's get on with it, shall we? We have managed to get an interview with an awesome and extremely talented illustrator, and very specifically for us, the artist responsible for that stunning classified series Cobra Commander box art. Yes, that's right, please welcome the amazing Dan Mumford. Great to have you with us, Dan. How are you doing, bud?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Now, obviously, you first came to my the forefront of my, you know, like knowledge of you existing when you did the Cobra Commander art. But you've been doing loads and loads of cool stuff previous to that, and it's been really cool to kind of see that. So, I mean, before we get to that work with the Cobra Commander, I mean, could you give us a bit of background first and how you got into this kind of line of work?
Sure. Well, I've been a freelance illustrator for 13 years, I think it is now.
That's a good stint.
I graduated in 2007, and I was mainly working in music-based artwork then. So a lot of like album covers, t-shirts, that sort of thing.
Cool.
And then that turned into working more in the pop culture industry. So a lot of movie posters, things like that. Generally, you know, the sort of alternative nerd pop culture, whatever you want to call it, you know.
Yeah.
So everything you might find at somewhere like Comic-Con.
Absolutely.
And do you know what? It's only the last couple of years that's begun to diversify a bit more again into more things like, well, packaging, stuff like that, you know, and actually getting to work with some of the stuff that meant a lot to me as a kid, if you will.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the general overview, I guess.
So as a kid then, you were kind of, you know, were you kind of a Joe fan back then as a young lad?
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think that was probably...
Well, I should say Action Force as well, right, obviously.
Yeah. I think primarily, you know, that's the overriding, like, toy I have memories of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There were others, but I don't know if anyone remembers Marshall Bravestar, but I had a lot of Marshall Bravestar figures.
Bravestar!
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, that was maybe for, like, what, a year?
Yeah.
But G.I. Joe was always there, so, you know.
Awesome. Well, and it says in the theme tune as well that they're always there. So you've worked on some incredible art, and again, like some of the stuff that I was looking at, you know, I was really kind of drawn to things like Star Wars, Mega Man was a really cool one that I saw, Terminator, Avengers, Wonder Woman. I mean, the list is endless. Like, it literally is. Like, I would have listed them all, but I was like, no, I can't. This will take hours.
It's a lot, yeah.
It's loads. I mean, and they're all really instantly recognizable, but you've managed to kind of infuse your own art style into them very clearly. I mean, how do you go about a project like this particular, you know, based on like those kind of the Star Wars and the Mega Mans and all that? I mean, is it brief? Is it to brief or do clients let you kind of go nuts with this kind of stuff?
Well, it depends really. I mean, the majority of my work is for clients, so we're working to a brief. Sometimes it's personal work, in which case I get to just do things however I want, really.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but also kind of, I quite like having not the limitations, but having a brief, it definitely
the focus
helps.
Totally.
Yeah, it helps you start a lot easier. And in terms of where I start with the project, it's pretty much always the same. I'll just do a bit of research. So if that's a movie, generally I'll make sure I've watched the movie, which is not a problem because I enjoy film a lot. So, you know, that's a big part of what I enjoy anyway. So, you know, yeah, if it's a film like Star Wars, for example, it's very important for me to try and pick out what it is that's important.
Yeah.
You know, who are the key players? What's an important scene? And as you probably saw in most of my work, it's normally a scene. It's not like a big load of different figures and faces and stuff. It's normally one moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's always about trying to depict that one moment. And actually, the Cobra Commander piece is different in that respect because it is this sort of montage thing, which is quite unusual for me.
Yeah, totally. What I noticed about some of the work you did as well is like the landscapes, like the atmosphere and the kind of the arena that they're always in is always really rich and really kind of, you know, there's a lot, I think, you know, obviously you know this, but a lot of detail seems to go into the world around the character, which is really striking.
Well, I think it's, I'm actually sort of secondarily looking at the figures and the characters.
Yeah.
The world and the scene itself is normally the primary focus.
Yeah.
And because of that, I tend to put lots of little things throughout the image. I think it's the sort of, you know, it is the fan in me because nearly always I love these worlds I'm working on already, you know, as a fan. So I try and put little nods to things in there. You know, I'll always, in nearly everything I do, I think if it's a film, I put the film's release date in there somewhere.
Okay.
Like, or like the running time, things like that. You know, if a car has a license plate, for example,
oh,
you know,
no way.
Weird things like that.
I'm gonna have to go through all of your work again and just pick all of those out.
I tend to do that quite a lot, and you know, then there'll be things like characters in the background, and I just try and make everything have meaning, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's also something that, as an artist, I need to work on, actually, because it does mean that sometimes I'm putting detail into places that they don't really need them, and actually. Maybe it overcomplicates the image, but yeah, you know, yeah. It's always a learning process.
I should say as well, like, obviously we've started the interview. We're both from the UK, obviously.
Yes.
That's quite clear. All of our American listeners are kind of like, what's he doing? He usually has Americans on. No. So, I mean, where are you from originally? Where were you born?
Watford.
Watford, so, okay, cool.
Yeah, just outside of London. And that's where I've been most of my life, really, in that area. I went to Brighton University, which is on the coast, so I was out of London for a few years, but now I live in London again.
Awesome.
And, you know, it's a weird one. Like, I don't have, like, a small hometown to go back to or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, London is kind of my home, which is nice, because it's such a huge place. You know,
yeah, so. Yeah. That's amazing. That's cool. I just wanted to kind of clear that up. I should have asked that initially,
sure.
And I'm like, you know, people are going to be like, where's he from? And okay, so one of the main standouts of your work as well is the colour. Like, I mean, dramatic use of, I should say, really. I mean, it's really, your style's really recognisable. And the way you use colour is kind of unlike any artist I've kind of seen today. I mean, how has that developed over time? And was that style something you consciously aimed for as you progressed as an artist?
It's developed in that nowadays I'm known for colour, whereas primarily I probably wasn't before.
Yeah, yeah.
So my earlier work was quite dull / black and white a lot of the time.
Right, right.
And I didn't really know how to use colour that well. It was very much a learning process for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's one of those things whenever people ask me, like, how do you know how to put what colour where and what shades to use and what matches? And it's always just an experimentation process. But also the fact that I was so bad at using colour means that I quite quickly learned what worked and what didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was kind of starting from nothing with just black and white, if you will.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's just one of those sort of things that's quite innate. Like, I don't think about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I'll just
yeah.
go, this piece is going to have a sort of blue feeling to it. Like, yeah. I want it to be cool colors. And then I just sort of go with it. And there's lots of experimentation. Like, before it gets to that final stage, there'll be different versions with different colors. And that's always the color actually always ends up being one of the things that is finalized towards the end.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll be working on the whole piece, working on it for like 3 or 4 days, going, I don't know, these colors don't really work necessarily.
Mm.
And then you can quite easily in Photoshop, because I do everything digitally, you can quite easily tweak your colors in like 10 or 15 minutes and go, okay, now it works, it pops, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But nearly always I have quite a good idea of the general color theme. And yeah, I just like making things like giant rainbows now.
But honestly, it's really striking. And anyone that's listening, if you can check Dan out on his website on Facebook as well, and just go through some of like the photos and the images that you've already created, because it's just so like striking. Everything is so, you know, and it's funny because you kind of look at it and everything is a different color. Like it's all over the place in terms of color, right? But it all seems to kind of look, this, it all seems to go together, if you know what I mean. Like, that's something
yeah.
that I find really surprising. Is like, one image could be like that kind of Star Wars scene where it's that kind of desert kind of orangey kind of tones and everything, and then it could be the teal of like another piece that you've been working on.
Yeah.
And yet they work very similarly, like, together. It's very odd. Like, I don't know how to really explain that.
I think what's strange is, well, actually, a lot of the time when I'm doing work, normally within film, actually, I tend not to have credits on the pieces.
Right, yeah.
And it kind of helps those pieces look like they're one giant body of work, if you will.
Yeah.
Because also I think what it is as well that makes a lot of my work look like it all works together is the compositional elements. So, you know, I joke about it, but I only have like 3 or 4 different compositions that I use again and again and again. Something I need to work on at some point. Someone's going to go, haven't we seen this piece before?
Yeah,
like, but with a different character. I mean, it's fine. I think a lot of artists are like that.
Yeah.
You know how you can draw something well,
yeah.
if you will. But because of that, I think a lot of the time they sit really well next to each other.
Yeah.
And because the colouring methods are also the same, so a lot of the time I do, if it's a really full colour thing, like the recent Star Wars movie posters, you know, I'll do something where it's like transitioning very gradually from one colour to another. And then the next piece will be pretty much the same, but different colours. And I think that just makes it look like a kind of like a nice colour wheel, you know, like where it's really gradually making its way around all the colours. And also with something like those Star Wars posters for Rise of Skywalker and the other two as well, those posters were sort of created as a set.
Yeah.
So if I know there's going to be four posters, I'm like, okay, we're doing the blues and reds in this one. This one's got the greens and yellows. This one's the purples. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so it's I'm kind of getting a bit of all the colours in there somewhere.
Yeah. And it's amazing because everything's so cohesive at the same time. I think as well, like obviously your art style is also really strong in there too. Like, it's not just about the colour aspect, but yeah, I just think everything, there's a really solid signature to your, you know, it's really clear. And yeah, and I'm loving it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, and plus you're on the show, so I have to be really nice. So obviously, let's talk about the G.I. Joe job. Mm. That sounds a bit weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How did the G.I. Joe job come about?
Well, just kind of out of the blue, to be honest.
Yeah.
I heard from Sean Kenny over at Hasbro, who's been on a few, I think he's been on a few of the like the reveals and stuff, talking about the new figures and stuff. And we just had a really good chat about stuff and just sort of how they wanted to do something a bit different with the packaging. And I thought it was a great idea in the first place, like getting all of these amazing artists to do their take on these figures. And like, you know, obviously I didn't really know what other people were working on, but when I got to see the reveal of all of that stuff, you know, what was it, like a month ago or something?
Yeah.
It was really cool to see. And it's one of those things that's really good because the styles themselves don't really match at all between the different figures. But it doesn't matter because they're used carefully on these little panels. And, you know, I can't wait to see them together.
I know. I've got a few of them.
Oh, do you? Wow.
Yeah, let me just show you quickly.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Because I've only seen them online so far, you know.
So.
Oh, wow.
There we go. Right. Sorry, great for radio, that was, wasn't it? So obviously we've got Snake Eyes there. Tracy Ching did Snake Eyes.
Yeah, wonderful.
And
Tracy's amazing.
And again, like I'm hoping to get Tracy on the show as well to talk about her work on the Snake Eyes one. So that's really nice.
And that'd be great. Tracy's amazing.
We've got the Mike Thompson Roadblock as well, which is again that kind of like photorealistic kind of style.
That's nice. It's nice packaging as well.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's absolutely stunning. Yeah. I had to get two of each of the figures so that
How did you get them? Did you get sent them?
Yeah, well, Hasbro Pulse orders and Roma Collectibles. So I've because I'm in the US.
Oh wait, as in they've shipped them already?
Oh yeah. The first wave are out. So you got Oliver Barrett's Destro as well there. Again, nice. another nice one.
That's really, really good.
And just a couple more. Sorry about this, Dan. We've got Francesco Francovia's Duke as well.
See, that's a great example, like because it doesn't really, you know, his style doesn't necessarily match the others.
Yeah, it's very
really.
Cartoon.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. When they're all lined up, they actually look really, really cool and striking.
Yeah.
And then can't believe you've Scarlet as well. That is beautiful.
I really love that one. I can't believe you haven't taken them out of the box and played with them yet.
Well, I have. I've got two of each.
Oh, you've got two of each.
They're all out, open. I've even got the Cobra Trooper here, which came recently.
Yeah.
Absolutely superb.
It's funny, like they keep releasing more and more. And then there was, what's the new one, like Cobra Island or something?
Yeah, that's the Target Cobra Island. There you go, the Special Missions Cobra Island.
Oh, there it is.
That's the Cobra Trooper.
Non-stop.
And that is, I can't remember who did the Cobra Trooper one.
I remember now.
Anyway, amazing artwork. And I can't wait to have your Cobra Commander one on there. And speaking of Cobra Commander, let's talk about that. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's one of my favourites, in all honesty. You've got a lot to take into consideration with the art on here, like the size of the space on the box, the wraparound element. How do you go about deciding poses and so on? Do you do a lot of test sketches to find out, you know, like, or do you kind of get the idea immediately?
No, with this we had to be quite specific because obviously knowing that it's going to be used primarily as the wraparound artwork meant that it had to be created in a way that would be accentuating the shape, if you will.
Sure.
So, you know, I knew that we were going to have the smaller Cobra Commander on the front And then actually, you know, there's the larger one behind him, which is, I think, ends up being on the side. And that process was, we kind of just went through, you know, the usual sort of process that I would on a job, different sketches, trying different things out. But I had the, you know, I had the packaging layout that was in place. So it wasn't too hard to like imagine and visualize it. And yeah, it wasn't that dissimilar to most jobs, to be honest with you.
Sure.
No.
Was it more of a, you said earlier, obviously, given a brief, you like that kind of the limitation, shall we say.
Sure, yeah.
But did that help as well? Like, was it kind of like, well, I've only got this space to work in, so it's only, you know, it's got to be this kind of way?
Yeah, and I think pretty early on we knew we wanted to do that sort of thing, you know, just going back and forth with the team over there. It was, we were locked into that idea pretty quickly, to be honest. And I think most of the other pieces are fairly similar in the sort of rough layout or sort of the way they might be used.
Yeah.
And I hope at one point maybe they get released as posters or something. That'd be cool. Because I think they were all created as, I presume they were all created as large scale pieces.
Yeah. The each artist has kind of shared on, you know, like the full art and the kind of, you know, the Phil Noto one with the Scarlet one is really nice as well, because it's like...
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of detail missing there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. Well, something else I was quite, very interested in knowing, if it's possible to know, were you given the actual action figure itself as reference, or were you working from, like, images and stuff like that?
I wish I was given a figure. No, no, I just... I think that was... I'm trying to remember now because it was quite a while ago. I think it was fairly locked down what the design was.
Yeah.
And I was just shown basically just images of what it looked like.
Okay. And, so you didn't have that much to really go on then in the sense?
Well, it was quite a lot of different angles and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So it was all there basically. It
wasn't like a grainy image taken from...
No, I think I think I had some of the 3D models as well to look at.
Oh, brilliant.
Stuff,
so. Cool.
But that was really cool because it meant it was hard for me to get it wrong, if you know.
Yeah,
and with
yeah.
something like this, those details are important because we want it to look spot on.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. But, you know, with a company like Hasbro, like, you're going to get that detail if they can give it to you.
Absolutely.
So that was really appreciated, actually, because sometimes you are, if it's a film or something, you are sort of guessing and sort of going, I can just about make out what this is meant to look like here. What's weird, actually, is for a lot of things, like, actually, quite specifically, working on some of the Avengers posters, the best way to get different poses and different angles is to look at the toys, because they're so detailed now. I can't remember what company it is. I don't think it's Hasbro. but, you know, there's some really, really detailed ones of all of the Marvel figures.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure that you're getting it from the right movie, because there's now so many different movies with so
God,
many different outfits.
It is constant, isn't it, as well?
I mean, I think Iron Man's got about 10 different outfits and 10 different figures to go with it. So
he was at Mark 40 something last time I saw. Yeah.
I don't know. But you have to be quite careful, because people will notice.
Oh, of course they will. Of course. Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, all us Joe nerds, we're going to notice.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. I think, you know, I think it is one of those things where if the details weren't as spot on as they are.
Yeah.
I think people would have been a bit like, it's a shame, you know?
I haven't got the figure in hand yet. The Cobra Commander one, I'm desperate to kind of, you know, to see. I've got two versions of that coming. Obviously, the...
There's a third as well, isn't there?
Well, oh my God. Well, that one I haven't been able to... Well, that goes up on September on that Pulse.
What's it called? Like the
Snake
Royal Supreme?
Snake
Ultimate.
Supreme.
Yeah. That one's amazing.
It's beautiful. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But like,
and I obviously, like, my artwork's nowhere on that one, but I still want to own it.
that's interesting, isn't it? Because I've got another artist to do another Cobra Commander on the deluxe packaging. And again,
so good,
really, really cool. And I kind of feel like there is a... It's not too much of a departure from what you did on the Cobra Commander thing. So the at least there's no real massive difference between those two pieces. But it is.
I mean,
that deco is insane, isn't it?
Yeah. And the packaging's different as well, I think. Anyway,
oh, yeah. It's deluxe. Yeah. It opens up, like, splits in half, and he kind of floats in the middle of the... Ridiculous.
Big fan of that. Yeah.
But I mean, like, the details that you had to put on to your piece as well, like, I'm kind of, as I'm looking at it right now, you know, the helmet's got loads of different kind of lines and cuts and there's different textures on that. And then you've got the kind of shoulder piece, and you've got all the different snake skin elements and stuff. I mean, it's really rich is what I'm saying. So, and
thank you.
In seeing the figure, I think you've captured it really well in the artwork as well. I mean, were you happy with the final outcome?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, generally with most of my work, there's always like 10 or 20% of you that goes, I could have done that better. And, you know, I look at that piece now and I'm pretty happy with it. Yeah. There's things I would change now if I could, because like, obviously I can see them go, oh, that's wrong, if you will.
Yeah.
But do you know what? It was quite a intense piece to work on. So it was one of those ones where it was like the deadline's coming up. So
oh, wow.
This is the piece. I'm happy enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's always something you want to change.
What was
always.
The turnaround on it then? I mean, Hasbro come to you. How long did you actually have to work on it?
I can't remember now, actually. I've genuinely got no idea. I think it wasn't super quick. I think it was more just generally it was sort of like over a few months, I think.
Oh, good.
So like quite a comfortable back and forth, that sort of thing.
And it was probably a while ago that you worked on it now, right? Is that correct?
Oh yeah, it was last year.
Wow.
I think it was maybe even the start of last year.
Wow.
I don't know.
It's crazy to think that stuff was all going on in the background and most Joe fans had no idea of what was happening.
It was quite fun because obviously no one knew about any of it.
Yeah.
And had to keep it completely secret. But I did tell my dad because he was pretty excited by that.
Brilliant.
Because he was just as into G.I. Joe. He was more into buying them for me.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
But I think he played a little bit with me, you know.
Did he have the 12-inch figures back in the day, like the Action Man and stuff like that?
He had a couple. Yeah, he definitely had a few of those, yeah.
That's great.
So I think for him that this was like, you know, my version.
That's brilliant. It's like come full circle. I love that.
Oh, yeah. And I've still got them. I still have a couple of crates of them up in... I think they're in my dad's attic, but he keeps telling me that I have to take them now because he wants the space. So
it's all lies. He wants them in his possession forever. I can guarantee it. I mean, like, were you at any point, were you concerned about having to do Cobra Commander, who is like one of the most iconic characters in the G.I. Joe universe? Or were you just super excited?
I was excited. I think I was, you know what? I did know that Tracy was doing Snake Eyes and I'm quite good friends with Tracy.
Awesome.
And like, I think I had a little word with her about it because I knew she was doing Snake Eyes and I was like, you got Snake Eyes. I wanted Snake Eyes. But I think Cobra Commander's like a good second one to get.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally. I mean, if you're talking iconic, you know, it's going to be Cobra Commander, Snake Eyes, then you're probably talking like Duke and Destro, you know, like those are the icons, I think, of the brand. So
actually, we should talk about the special Destro. I can't remember what he's called.
Profit Director Destro.
Yes, and another artist friend of mine did James White.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I was like, yes, that is amazing. I was so happy that they got him to do it as well because his work's perfect for it.
Yeah.
But just the fact that, you know, what I like about it is the fact they've taken chances with things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And also taking chances. And not just what the figure is and having some sort of slightly out there artwork, but also weird things like, I think his packaging is purple instead of blue.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't go with the line, but it doesn't matter because it's awesome.
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
I just love that.
And yeah, James as well, like I saw his interview with a friend of mine, Paul, for Plastic Battles, and he was talking about his process and, you know, all the things he had to do in terms of, like, you know, the sketching out and everything. And you're right, his style is perfect for that because it's that kind of like 80s kind of like vibe, isn't it? With a kind of, but with that kind of cartoon or comic aspect to it. Really, really nice kind of striking.
So
yeah, yeah, totally cool. And the deco on that figure is unreal.
Yeah,
love it.
It's amazing.
Coming back to Cobra Commander, the inclusion of the huge golden cobra is really striking.
Oh, in the background.
Yeah, did Hasbro ask for that, or was that something that you threw in?
I think I might have just thought that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I knew he had basically... Because the cobra itself, I don't think that even shows up on the packaging. Like, maybe its background does. But the head, I think, is on, like, the part that won't be on the packaging.
Okay.
So I think... You know, in my eyes, I was a bit like, you know, it's basically negative space that you might not do something that interesting with.
Sure.
But I just thought, you know, that's a really cool way to just get another element of Cobra in there.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, in the same token, did you include the vehicles as well, like the Hiss Tanks and the Ravens? Was that something?
Honestly, I can't remember because there was quite a few sort of going back and forth on this stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I think we just thought that'd be cool because it's like, you know, he is the commander. Let's have some of his forces around,
totally,
if you will.
Totally.
And I was glad that we got to do the Hiss tank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Hiss tank at the bottom, yeah.
I was glad we got to do that one because I had that vehicle.
Nice.
So I was glad to put that in there.
Yeah, I love the, as well, the Night Ravens look great, like flying off into the night sky kind of thing.
The small additions, and they're essentially, you know, non-essential to the piece itself,
yeah,
but as a whole they just sort of add a little extra element to it.
Yeah, absolutely, really, really solid. We've kind of, you know, you talked about being really excited about doing this. I mean, did you enjoy working on the project, and do you think there's a possibility for maybe some future work with Hasbro packaging?
Well, in terms of future work, I have no idea. Like, oh, like, if they wanted me to do more, of course I would.
Because they're going to run out of artists in the world at some point, aren't they? They're going to have to come back full circle and start again, aren't they?
You would hope so. I love doing it. It was really good fun. And I think it's just one of those things that's just a little bit different.
Mm.
You know, it's a different application for my artwork. And it's also something that means a lot to me, nostalgia-wise.
Yeah.
It's something that I just really enjoyed. And, you know, if I was asked to do anything that is in the realm of early 90s, late 80s toys, then I will be there immediately.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Dan, thank you so much, mate, for jumping on and chatting with me.
Hey, no problem at all.
Really appreciate it. Like I said, absolutely adore that Cobra Commander art. It's actually, I've actually stolen it for use for the Full Force Facebook page during Cobra Convergence 5. So the check for the... check will be in the post for that.
Thank you
so much, Dan. And again, like, could you tell everyone where to follow you, where to find you,
sure,
and all that kind of stuff?
Well, my website is dan-mumford.com, and on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook it's @danmumforddraws. So, and that's it really. Like, I put up lots of new stuff. I sort of show work in progress where I'm allowed to do that, and I've got lots of prints and stuff on sale. And I'm always dropping new prints and stuff as well. So, yeah, check it out.
Fantastic. And we'll drop all those links as well in the descriptions below on wherever you see this, hear it, whatever. You'll be able to find him and you'll be able to look at his amazing work. Dan, mate, really appreciate it. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Lovely to meet you, and all the luck in the future, mate. Thank you so much.
Thank you. No problem. Cheers.
That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my awesome guest, Dan Mumford. See you next time. And as always... Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback or questions. We have also started a Patreon page, so if you want to see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.
G.I. Joe fans, welcome to Cobra Convergence 5. Cobra Convergence is the G.I. Joe fan community's month-long celebration of G.I. Joe's eternal enemy, Cobra. Please join as your favorite G.I. Joe podcasters, YouTubers, photographers, and cosplayers present new Cobra content for the entire month of August.
G.I. Joe, the Full Force Podcast, Half the Battle, Special Mission Force, Comic Tropes, Toy Polloi, Plastic Battles, Scorched Earth Creations.
Every day in August, we'll spotlight a G.I. Joe fan creator with new Cobra-related content. That's a dose of Cobra every single day of the month.
Talking Joe, a G.I. Joe podcast. Merry Mercenary Cosplay. Order of Battle podcast. Cobra Island. SEO Toy Review. MacDowell. Mate Myler. Fun School Roni.
The full lineup of creators is now available at htc788.com. Make sure you subscribe and follow each one so you don't miss anything.
Joe Motion Videos 82, JLS Comics, What's on Joe Mind Podcast, The Human Mechanism Mark II, Green Yeti 907, My Side of the Laundry Room, The File Card Podcast, Real Hector Canada.
We want every G.I. Joe fan to get involved, support the fan community, and show us your creativity. You will find instructions at hcc788.com for how you can join the convergence with your own Cobra creations.
Joe Fan 82, Jay Bond, codename Mewtwo Vero 2, Painted Plastic, Joe Colton Cosplay, Hooded Cobra Commander 788.
It's time to turn the world blue. Cobra Blue. Go to hcc788.com right now and get ready for the convergence.